In such a divisive world, we need to focus on humanity and what brings us together rather than what divides us. And I think that if someone can relate to something, you know, relatability is so important when it comes to understanding and changing hearts and minds. And so if I can do that through a gentle way, through a really raw, honest, entertaining conversation, then that's a win for me.
Yeah. It's all about hearing people's individual stories.
Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. I don't know about you, whether you've got a particular Christmas tradition, but in our house, we used to always have the Radio Times at Christmas. Well, I think we had the Radio Times all through the year. But I don't bother with that nowadays, except for the Christmas edition, so I can have a look at all the films and all the specials that are coming up over the festive period. And that has inspired me for this final episode of Good Enough Counsellors, the Christmas edition. So what I'm going to do is do something completely and utterly different. And I thought, rather than me blathering on about this, that and the other to do with counselling, I would give you a bit of a break. And instead of giving you my thoughts, I thought I'd introduce you to some of the podcasters that I met back in October at the Podcast Awards. I thought it'd be really lovely to share some other people's podcasts so that if you're at a bit of a loss during the Christmas holidays, maybe you're going out for a walk or you need to escape or you're basting your turkey or anything else that you might be doing while we're all on holiday, that you might like to tune in to one of these podcasts. So I've just got a completely random selection of people I just happened to pick on at the Podcast Awards. Started off in the morning at Apple HQ, which is the most amazing, fabulous building in Battersea. It's placed within the old Battersea power station. First time I went to the ladies' loo and I looked up and I thought, oh dear, they must have had a leak. There's a big sort of black thing in the ceiling here. And then I realised it was actually one of the original girders that holds up Battersea Power Station. So it's all very sort of retro in some ways, but also beautifully designed. And Apple don't let you take any photographs while you're in there because they want people to have the shock and awe of being in the headquarters. You have to go up in about three different lifts to get there. And I do go every year, because it's fun to go and they give us really nice coffee. They explain how Apple Podcasts is helping creators. But I am proud to say that this year I was the only podcaster there who was actually recording. So you have all these people, all these independent podcast producers, people who are far more creative, worked in the creative industries, but who was doing the podcasting? That's my little brag. So here goes. I'm going to introduce you now to some of the people that I met there in the morning and some of the people that I met at the actual Podcast Awards. And I have to say at this point that three times a bridesmaid, never a bride. So I've been nominated three times in a row, but I haven't actually ever won an award. I was feeling fairly discouraged about this and thought, is there really any point me continuing to go? Because it's a bit sort of like, yeah, they were nominated last year and didn't make it. But actually, even if I don't nominate the podcast, I think I might go along because it's such a brilliant opportunity to meet so many creative people and to hear about all these lovely things that people do. And a lot of it, I think, will help you in your work. Just to hear from different people, the people who've been interviewed on these different podcasts, listening to their stories. And if you don't want to work, that's okay as well, because there's some podcasts here, some of them are really unusual, but things that you just might like to listen to for your other interests. So I'll introduce them to you, but mainly you'll be hearing from the other podcasters. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I love about being a therapist is the opportunity to meet people from all sorts of walks of life and to hear their stories, because they're endlessly fascinating. And as Neil says in one of the interviews that follows this for his podcast, Pause and Rewind, stories are a great way to help others have empathy, and it helps us to know about what we've got in common. And if you've been listening to my podcast for any of the previous episodes, you'll probably have realised that being inclusive is quite important to me, and I'll continue to work to try and bring to you different voices and amplify voices that perhaps haven't been heard before. And it was a great privilege to have Dr. Yvonne Guest here talking about her experience of being mixed race and how to work with mixed race clients, which is a subject that really we haven't looked at in enough depth. And so it was wonderful to be able to welcome Yvonne to the studio. And another important episode, I think, was with Nicola Blunden, when we talked about trusting what clients know, because so often people don't get listened to. And these two podcasts that I'm going to tell you about now, an interview with Neil of Pause and Rewind and with Sam of Rainbow Mums and Dads, is just a little bit of an introduction to how podcasting can bring us people whose voices perhaps aren't heard enough.
Hey, so Pause and Rewind is the podcast that chats to changemakers, role models and thought leaders who all share a common goal, and they're striving to make the world a more inclusive place. And let's face it, we really need that right now.
Yeah.
It's less about what they're doing now. You know, we already know who many of these people are and what they're doing, but it's about the moments, the realizations and the relationships in their life that led them to who and where they are now. Mm. Everyone loves an origin story. You know, I'm a big fan of Marvel. And so this idea of understanding people's origin stories and how they show up in the world was really inspired by that, my love of storytelling and just having a good chat and being nosy.
Yeah. So it's a really great way to sort of learn more about being inclusive and learning about people's lives and what makes them who they are.
Yeah, you know, Pause and Rewind, is it has multiple functions, right? Firstly, I want to inspire inclusion. And part of that is people often don't know where to start. So it's about kind of giving them a little bit of a framework, tools and guidance. I'm chatting to people who are campaigners and activists, artists, innovators, entrepreneurs, DEI experts. And many people want to go into those fields, but they're not typical fields that people want to go into. So it's also kind of, you know, full of practical takeaways. But more than that, it's an education and awareness piece of work, really, putting something out there that basically says to people that whilst all of our stories are unique and different, we're so bound by our commonalities more than our differences. And so through storytelling, through showcasing authenticity and vulnerability, hoping to bring people along on this journey of we're not so different. Mm,
that's amazing. Something that's really important in this particular sort of situation, political situation we're in at the moment.
In such a divisive world, we need to focus on humanity and what brings us together rather than what divides us. And I think that if someone can relate to something, you know, relatability is so important when it comes to understanding and changing hearts and minds. And so if I can do that through a gentle way, for a really raw, honest, entertaining conversation, then that's a win for me.
Yeah. It's all about hearing people's individual stories, because it's so easy to other people, isn't it? And when you hear an individual story, it suddenly makes you much more empathic, I think.
Yeah. One of the taglines of my podcast is, you might never know someone's story, but if you listen closely, you'll hear it, you'll see it, you'll feel it. And I really believe that.
And that's what we try and do as counsellors, but we can't hear everybody, so something like your show can be really helpful for us to expand our minds as well and what's important to people. Yeah.
Thank you so much. There's a story in there for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Our podcast is called Rainbow Mums and Dads. It is a series of interviews with individuals who have come out as gay and lesbian later in life when they've had children and are married. They talk about their experiences growing up, what it's and how they came to terms with their sexuality. Then they talk about coming out to their family, and they talk about the aftermath of coming out, what they have to do to keep their family together. They talk about how their relationships change with their children, and often they talk about how they drift away from people and then how they reconnect to people again.
I was going to say, you know, as therapists, it's one of the things that we work with people quite a lot, where they come to these change points where perhaps they're thinking, they're exploring their sexuality. And I think as an older person myself, that, you know, there was so much more prejudice against gay people that I think sometimes people are coming out later in life because now maybe it's more acceptable to come out, or, you know, they realise that they can explore their sexuality, or perhaps they get to like a change point where they just realise it's time. But it has such a massive impact, doesn't it, on families. What's sort of been your experience of listening to people's different stories?
In my particular case, I am the producer of the podcast. I think part of the appeal is listening to queer individuals who are a generation above me. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting as a millennial to listen to
another generation.
Yeah. And just when you start to realize that enormous gulf between you and the other, and it becomes fascinating, and just listening to very different experiences. And I became very taken with the podcast and decided to try and keep it going.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't answer your question, I'm afraid.
But you're here at the Podcast Awards, so, you know, something's going right. That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
If you follow me on social media, or you know about my other podcast, Gloriously Unready, where I told my story of having transgender kids and interviewed transgender people about their experiences, you'll know that I really am passionate about supporting transgender people. And this next interview I thought was really interesting because, although it's talking about 1970s women's magazines, I think there's a really important message in there to learn and to inspire us for all the work that we do to support inclusivity. And it's a really fun concept. And I think this just sounds like a fascinating podcast.
Okay, it's called Mag Hags. We look at women's magazines from the 1970s, 80s and 90s. We look at what's still hot and what's definitely not. That's our sort of tagline for it. And yeah, basically it's a sort of social history podcast kind of tracking feminism, I guess, really, and society and women's role in society in that sort of 30-year period from 1970 up until 1999 through the sort of prism and lens of women's magazines. And we look at the features that are written about in these magazines and kind of dissect them and look at what they're kind of telling us about the issues that women are experiencing, and look at some of the adverts and what that's telling us in terms of how society is seeing women and what society is trying to sell to women and that sort of thing. And yeah, some of the fashion and beauty, and look at kind of how things have changed today, how things are different today, but also how they're not so different. And that's been the most interesting thing, I think, about doing it, really, is the amount of stuff that's actually still really the same.
Oh, tell us more about that. What's the same? Is it still about bodies and hair and makeup, that sort of stuff? Or
Like, some of it's that kind of thing. I mean, some of it's more, you know, sort of profound. Like, in our first episode, our first episode is looking at an issue of Cosmo from 1982. And the lead feature in that magazine was the 21st anniversary of the pill. It was like a sort of oral history of the pill. All the issues that it was talking about, all the sort of problems with the pill that it was talking about in that article about the mood swings that women get and side effects and things like that. Like, all of those are still, like, exactly the same. None of those have changed. So there's things like that, but there's also lots of things that are like actually the things that we care about, the things that are like most prescient in women's minds, you know, at the various sort of junctures of their lives. Those are all the same.
Yeah.
It's just our context changes slightly with each generation, and that's quite, I think it's actually quite like comforting in a way to sort of know that, like, actually we're not going through anything new. Everybody's done it before.
Nothing's changed, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like, humans are still humans. Yeah. Like, we still want what we want. And
so it's interesting, though, you know, you're sort of talking about the pill. And I guess for me, you know, given my age, you know, the menopause is something that we talk so much more about now.
Yeah.
Do you think that's true, that we talk about it more now? Or have you seen it coming through in the magazines?
To be fair, I've not really seen the menopause coming through in the magazines. I think that is true, actually. That is something that we talk about more. And I think there's lots of things that we talk about more now that we didn't, like miscarriage and baby loss and like fertility struggles and lots of things like that and mental health generally. I think we're much more like literate around mental health issues and just our overall sort of mental well-being now than we were in the 70s and 80s. Certainly there's definitely a lot of reading it, there's definitely a lot of like that sort of like buck up and, you know, pull your socks up and get on with it, type of sort of tone to things, in that kind of sort of 40-50 year old.
Yeah, it's interesting actually, because I'm sort of thinking about the 1970s, because I would have been I guess I was 10 in 1973. But one of the things I remember from that era is my mum talking about Shirley Conran. And it was almost sort of a bit of a feminist movement at that point.
Oh my God, so much. Yeah, and you can really kind of see, in lots of these women's magazines, you can really see that the women's liberation movement and how it's kind of bubbling up, and this real, you really get a sense of the like energy that is really kind of inspiring young women in their 20s and 30s who are having opportunities and living lives that their mothers would never have been able to do.
Yeah.
And that's I found that really inspiring, actually, from doing it. And I think it's made me a bit closer to my mum. I think it's made me like relate to my mum a bit better and like understand what her life, you know, like what being a young woman was like for her, and how different her experience of being a young woman and my experience of being a young woman were. So that's been a really like nice sort of unexpected like side effect of doing it.
Sounds fascinating. So just remind us again what it's called.
It's called Mag Hags, and you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's absolutely brilliant, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who listen to this who go off and listen to it after
that.
It's lovely to meet you.
It's lovely to meet you too.
Thanks, Lucy. My kids cross two boundaries. One of them is a Gen Z, and the other two are millennials, apparently. I've just looked it up. But the thing that absolutely brings them together is their love of gaming. And there's quite a lot about it that I don't really understand. And when I did this interview, I have to confess, I had absolutely no idea about what the chap was saying. But my husband and my kids thought it sounded really interesting. So if you're a gamer or you're into your history, here's a short clip from the creator of Past Masters. If you haven't heard about it and you are a gamer or you're into your history, or even, you know, you like to be creative, write stories and are into AI, this one might be of interest to you.
My name's Ryan, and I have a podcast called Past Master. It's a show where you can try and go back in time and see if you could survive and thrive in the past, reshape history, mess with historical events. And we use AI to act as kind of our game master and narrator to decide whether what we do in the past works or not.
I still don't know if I understand it, even though we met last year.
it's a tricky one to explain sometimes, but it's basically a choose your own adventure game.
Amazing. So tell me about sort of people. Do you know anything about the sort of audience you've got and the sort of people who like to use your podcast?
Real mixture. So like Dungeons & Dragons, tabletop role-playing fans kind of like it because it's a bit open-ended. It's a kind of role-playing game. History fans like it. We have comedians on. So it's quite a broad spectrum of people listening to the show, which is good fun, but it's also challenging to try and think about what's the best way to pitch it, position it, who should be our next guest. You know, we don't want to cater to all things to all people, but it's an experimental show, so even after 2.5 years we're finding our feet and trying to figure out the best way, and that's part of the fun of it, is just being creative. Like, we use AI as a tool to explore ideas, and it's like an infinite canvas, which is, you know, good fun.
It sounds such fun, actually, just letting your brain just go anywhere. just make things up and see what happens.
Pretty much, yeah. And obviously, like, the AI knows everything, you know, has all the knowledge of the internet in its quote-unquote head. So it's a fun narrative, what's the word, narrative foil.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to use to explore a topic or an idea, test a theory. Give it a listen if you've not heard it before. And we share the prompts that we use to generate the game. We share on our newsletter. If you sign up to the newsletter, passwords.ai, you can play the game yourself and let us know what you think.
That sounds like such fun. I imagine it would really attract a lot of people. We just love this sort of stuff.
One of the things I found during the pandemic is I suddenly found myself unable to read anything that had any tension in it, because I think I was so on edge anyway and suffered quite a lot of anxiety during the pandemic that anything that worried me just felt like too much to bear. So what I started to do was actually I revisited some children's stories and I listened to the familiar stories from my youth, which was quite fun and quite sweet, really. Now, I don't think that would have worked for this particular creator who's going to tell us about her podcast, Spooky Stories, and why she's created it.
So my name's Beth and I'm the host of Spooky Storytime on the Mercury Network. It is a bedtime for adults ghost story, something to help you drift off to sleep and give you some chills at the same time.
How does that work?
Well, it's me. So my favourite thing to do if I can't sleep is to listen to the grisliest true crime podcast that I can. And I seem to be able to nod off really well to those. So I thought I'd try a similar approach with some spooky, creepy horror stories.
That's amazing, because, you know, as therapists, one of the things we think about is, you know, how you've got to be calm and calm your system down and everything, and it sort of sounds like spooky stories actually make you feel quite calm.
They do, they really do. So Liam's actually my husband, and there's quite a few times he comes to bed and I'm sound asleep and my phone's still playing and it's talking about, and then the axe murderer climbed in through the window and killed everyone in the house and I'm there snoring away. But I thought if that works for me, it must work for some other people, and my listeners seem to like it.
Yeah, so how's it going? I mean, have you got a sort of fan base of people who love to listen?
So far, yeah. We only launched in May this year, but we release 2 episodes a week on a Sunday and a Wednesday, and we get consistently quite a few downloads each week, and it's just growing and growing, so hopefully it will just be on the up and up.
I just think it's fantastic, and I thought it'd be so great to interview you, because, you know, we work with all sorts of different people and we might have clients who would love something like this. And it's sort of thinking outside the box, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I love doing it. I absolutely love doing it. Yeah. So, and they're podcasts I would listen to. So that was the most important thing to me, to make something that I would enjoy.
So do you write all the episodes?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I write them all myself.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
It's lovely to meet you.
You too.
And hopefully you'll get some more listeners.
And now for this last interview, we're going to go full circle and go back to some stories. But I think if you follow music, if you're someone who loves a music festival, this is going to be a real treat for you if you haven't already come across it. It's a podcast called Sonic Fields, and I'll let the creator tell you about it himself, but it just sounds like such a wonderful opportunity to lose yourself in some of the stories about how music festivals came about.
So my podcast is called Sonic Fields, and it's here tonight in the, what's it, in the music and arts categories.
Yeah.
And basically it's a story of a year where I take a kind of deep exploration into the music festival in Britain. And it kind of starts in the late 60s where the festival started and goes sort of through the decades. And along the way I'm meeting the sort of strange people that change the dial on the scene a little bit. So not necessarily big music stars and things like that, but you know, I mean this in the best possible way, the kind of freaks, the beautiful freaks that shapes the scene of what it is now and how it graduated into this thing that is now, which is a big commercial industry. It's kind of bridging the old and the new.
So what, do you have a favourite musical festival?
That's a good question. I mean, it sounds like a boring answer, but I mean, Glastonbury does have my heart in lots of ways because it, like, and there is faults with it, but I think there's something about it where when you're there, I feel like I'm at one of the most profound places I've ever been in. It can feel like in certain moments like the most important place in the world, and it's about a feeling that's there. But then besides that, you know, there's one that I go to every year, which is called End of the Road, which is in Dorset at the back end of the summer, which is more of a boutique-y thing. And I, you know, I go every year with my mum and her partner and stuff. And it's the bands there I love. So yeah, that's a more sort of intimate setting. And then Glastonbury is more of this, like, I don't know, there's a lot to think about when you go to Glastonbury, and I kind of embrace that.
Well, fantastic. Thanks so much. Just so interesting. And what made you decide to do a podcast on the music festivals?
You know, I made a series before, which was a sort of a much smaller story about a cult band. And then I think I always knew that I wanted to explore the music festival because so much of my upbringing was based around them, and so many, like, there's just always a big draw through the people in my life that sort of lead back there in some way. And I kept thinking, oh, well, it's probably really some big institution that makes a story about the music festival. And I looked out and no one had fucking made it.
Yeah, no one had ever done it, so.
And I thought, I can give it a crack. And as I started to explore it, the sort of path opened up of where it can go.
Yeah.
So it's just the enthusiasm to start it just came from a myriad of reasons, really.
Absolutely fantastic. And listening to the stories of these people must be fascinating, I should think.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, and especially to hear them in people's homes. Like, I was sort of lucky in that respect that everyone that I reached out to, I said, ideally, it would be great to come and speak to you at home. And as it turns out, a lot of these people's homes are in, like, double-decker buses in Wales, or they live somewhere in the back of the beyond because they'd sort of chosen a different sort of life. So to actually sort of meet these people and speak to them about in their home environment, and people whose stories might otherwise not have been told on a big stage, as it turns out, you know, they were really influential in shaping things or being part of a scene that shaped things. It's just a total privilege to meet these people.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to those little interviews. You could hear that it was quite loud and noisy, and I had to shout to make myself heard. I'm now sitting in a very quiet room while I'm recording these inserts. But I think the important thing to say is that there's so much out there that we can listen to. And I am drawing this season of Good Enough Counsellors to a close. I can't believe it. We're up to something like episode 97. I'm not quite sure. I haven't looked it up. But goodness me, hasn't time gone quickly? I can't believe that's the end of series 3. And one of the things that's going to happen is that I am going to become a real proper podcaster, in that shortly my lovely, lovely podcast editor, Charlotte, is actually going into pastures new, and I have to take up the cudgel of hosting everything myself. So I feel as though I am graduating into a grown-up podcaster with plans to do a third podcast next year in 2026. So keep an eye out for that. I'm quite excited about it. But Good Enough Counsellors will be back in the new year. I'm going to continue to interview people about how to look after yourself, how to market yourself, how to draw clients to you, how to look at embracing and including different types of people into your practice, as well as interviews with our lovely therapists who listen in, people that I've worked with and know their practices, so that they can share how they've built their private practices, because it really is possible, even now when there's so many challenges, to build a sustainable private practice. So I'm really looking forward to the new year, to bringing you some more podcasts. And I'm just going to finish off now by reminding you that there is actually a little Twixmas treat for you. If you check out the show notes, I am going to give you a free little email course. It'll come out between Christmas and New Year, although it's entirely up to you when you actually do it. But it's just 5 tiny tasks to help you grow your private practice. So if you'd like to download your free Twixmas treat, it's completely free. It's an email course that lasts 5 days. You don't need to do it between Christmas and New Year. You can save it for January if you'd like. But just go along to the link in the show notes, or you can send me an email, josephinehughes.com/contact. That'll get through to me and I can help get you signed up to receive that. So we have reached the end of Series 3. We've reached the last episode for Good Enough Counsellors in 2025. A really big thank you to all of you who tune in, who comment on the podcast, who are listening to it and are using it to reach out to new clients, because that's what it's all about. It's all about helping people. It's all about making a difference to people's lives. I hope that the creators of all these podcasts that you are listening to today, with talking about stories and with inspiring others to learn, I hope that will help you and will help you know that you're making such a big difference in the world by helping people tell their stories too. Thank you so much for all that you do, and sending you lots of love and best wishes for a really peaceful festive break. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back in 2026. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.